Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Happy February 1st, and welcome to the latest edition of the Poetry Superhighway Live Worldwide Open Reading. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the MC of the show and the creator of the Poetry Superhighway at PoetrySuperhighway.com. Glad to have you with us. Thanks for tuning in. Today, you are invited to call in and read your poetry. The call-in number is 646-716-7362. We have no content or style restrictions. You could read anything of any style that you want. And it's an open reading. So join in. It's an awesome thing. If you haven't read your poetry out loud before, it's a very cool thing to do. If you sometimes participate in open readings locally in person, it's kind of like that, except you have a potentially worldwide audience of people listening really from everywhere. So it's a good opportunity for you to expose your poetry to all kinds of different places and people all over the world. Again, the call-in number is area code 646-716-7362. There was a danger today that I wouldn't be able to wear pants during today's show. My wife announced earlier that she was doing the laundry and immediately requested that I take off my pants, which I did, and there was only a certain number of minutes left before the show started. And luckily, I found another pair of pants and put them on. But there is a hole in the knee, so you should know that as I'm speaking to you, there is kind of a temperature difference between my knee and the rest of my body. And I do find it a little bit distracting, and hopefully it won't affect the show too much. Now, you may or may not be wearing pants, and that's fine. You don't have to tell us in either case. I do encourage you to not wear pants sometimes when calling in to the show. I think it helps you. I just think it helps raise your consciousness a little bit. Anyway, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. We just launched this morning at about 1 o'clock in the morning Pacific time the 8th annual Poetry Superhighway Great Poetry Exchange. And since then, I guess that's about 13 hours ago or so, we already have 19 people who have filled out the sign-up sheet online and who've joined in with their books. What this is it's not a contest. It's not anything that costs money. It's another way for you to share your poetry with other people. In this case, the way it works is you have a book, or maybe it's a chapbook, or maybe it's something that's self-published, or maybe it's something that you just printed off your computer and stapled together, any level of book of your own work that you have, or perhaps an anthology that you edited. You pledge to send that book to another randomly selected participant, and I put the information about your book up online on the Great Poetry Exchange page. And then at the end of the month, on March 1st, the submission period will close, and I'm going to randomly assign all of the participants to other participants. So Poet A will randomly send their book to Poet B. Poet B will randomly send their book to Poet C. Throughout March, poetry books will be winging their ways all over the world. It's a very cool thing. Last year, 94 poets participated in this, and we had 100%, 100%, there's never been, well, it's not true, 95% of the people who participate actually do send their book, and occasionally there's one or two who don't, but we take care of those folks in other ways as well. So go to PoetrySuperhighway.com, click on Great Poetry Exchange, fill out the form, and you're in. That's it. And all you have to do is two things. At the end of when it's over in March, I'm going to send you an email with a name and address, and you'll send your book to that person. And then you're going to get a book from a whole different person. It's not a one-to-one exchange where you're partnering with one person, and you'll get their book and they'll get your book. You'll get someone's book, and someone else will get your book. So sometimes there's been some confusion about this in the past where someone thought for sure they should send their book to the person who sent them their book, and that isn't the way it works. So you'll wait for my email with who to send your book to. And then this is just as important a step, that you email me once you've actually sent your book within 2 weeks to let me know that you have sent it out, and that way I'll mark you off the roster, and we will prevent me from sending you increasingly annoying emails saying things such as, "Have we crossed in the mail? Are you a horrible person and that's why you haven't sent your book?" That kind of thing. So there you go. It's awesome. It's a cool thing. I don't know of any other people who are doing something like this, so you should definitely join in. And in addition to taking your calls and hearing your poetry today, which we're going to start to do in just a minute, if you have any questions about the Great Poetry Exchange, or perhaps if you were a participant in one of the past Great Poetry Exchanges, again, this is the 8th year in a row that we've done this, maybe you can let us know what book you got and whether you felt it was a worthwhile experience. So again, the number to call in is 646-716-7362. We're going to our first caller. It looks like it's a blocked telephone number, so I have no way of identifying you. So if you're there, say hello.
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 It's you. Yes, it's you.
Yes, yes. My name is Tony.
Hi, Tony.
How you doing?
I'm
from the Bronx.
The Bronx?
Yes.
Excellent. My dad's from the Bronx.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been here before?
I have not been to that far north in New York City. No.
Oh, okay. Well, this is my first time. I've been getting your poetry for quite a few years. I think I'm on your website.
Okay, cool.
And I started a group of poets in New York called Poetry on the Hudson. And
is that Poetry on the Hudson? Did you say Google Poets, or is that an actual in-person reading?
That's the website, Poetry on the Hudson. There's two dashes in between on the, but that's it. And we started in the hospital in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And since then we go on, we do arts shows, we go to libraries and anywhere where anybody can hear us.
That's really cool. So it's a website that revolves around an actually community of poets in New York.
Right, right. And the website is going to be actually, I'm getting people to fix it, but it's still there. I take care of it, and I'm getting some new poets together, new members, and expanding a little bit.
Cool. What's actually on the website?
Well, the website, Columbia University School of Journalism interviewed us back in 2005, and we did a show in Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And we opened up for a group of band rock musicians there, and the president was there, the ex-president, I forgot his name already. Well, Bill Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Clinton by the State Building in Harlem. And, you can see some of the poetry of the different styles. We have from Irish, from the islands. I'm from Puerto Rico.
Uh-huh.
And we are able to submit, but suddenly something had happened to the website. So I'm trying to get it fixed, but people were able to submit their poetry there.
Okay. Do they have to be? Do they have to be New York, poets on the Hudson?
Yeah, people from all over people from all over the United States, and some people from other parts of the country have submitted there. Like I said, I'm trying to get it fixed, but it's something that takes time because I don't have the knowledge, the experience, and knowing how to do the website like you do, like yours. So I do
yeah,
it myself.
I mean I do have some website knowledge and stuff. I do it all myself, but it's still time consuming. You know what I'm saying?
It is, and I work at the hospital and I do physical therapy there. And this is something that I learned. I got printed up in the Daily News by Jared McAllister in '97 because of the OJ trial, the diversity, the people's feelings, the negativity, and the happiness from the case. I wrote my first poem in '97, and It was printed up in papers in New York twice that year, and then I said I gotta share my poetry, share my my happiness about that, because I never went to college, and I decided to write a little bit and share my experience. And then other newspapers got in touch, and they wrote me up in the Daily News and some other magazines, 1199 Daily News there.
That's great. You know, 1997 is also the year that the Poetry Superhighway started, as a matter of fact. So,
no kidding. Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. Well, one other question. Tell us the website, the address one more time.
Okay. If you do this, POTH dot tuya, the number 2YA.com, it redirects you to the website.
Oh, that's pretty easy.
Yeah,
POTH dot two YA.com.
Right, and actually, right now it's being done over again by one of my directors. That he's a web designer for the hospital. He took an interest, and he's gonna do it for free. You know, this is a nonprofit thing, so you know we need help.
As is most poetry, for that matter. One other thing I should mention to you, one of the things that we do on the Poetry Superhighway, maybe you've already done this, I'm not sure, but we list, you know, we have a large categorized section of links to poetry sites, and if you click on...
I think I'm there already.
Oh, you did? Okay, great. Well, so people can find you on the Poetry Superhighway in the link section as well. So that's great.
Yeah.
So you got a poem for us, Tony?
Yeah, it's called, I don't know if I should do one in Spanish, because... one in English. What do you think, Rick?
Well, ultimately it's your call, but I suspect more people speak English who are listening than Spanish. But you know, it's up to you.
Okay, I'll do something in English. It's called "Undaunted Flight" that I wrote a few years back, and it's been published a few times. You know, it's okay. "Undaunted Flight." Primey essence of honeydew melon, fat back, give me more collard green. Give me essence from flavors undone, marmalade too, of long ivory tufts that elephants do. From the flight of the whippoorwill to the last one to flood those plains. Give me essence encountered from far and near, yet never here, to the dried of bones that bake in the Sahara sun, while the mighty Mississippi giving life to everyone. Visions from the native child's tears from fear and unrest, while their forefathers laugh and cry, turn over in the grave, while the million man march on and on, undaunted and forever wounded. Essay. That's it.
Very nice, Tony. Well done.
Thank you.
Is that new poem, old poem?
Just a few years old. You know, I got like 80 pieces. You know, it depends on how I feel. I'm, like I said, you know, it's something from deep within. It's kind of like a sadness that inspires me. And sometimes it comes out in happy ways, and sometimes it comes out in sad, you know, in sad things, you know.
Right.
But it's about feelings, you know.
Right. Well, Tony, I really appreciate you calling in, and thanks for telling us all the info about your website, and call in again.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Rick. I love what you're doing. Hopefully one day mine will be like yours. But whatever, I'm glad you're there for everybody. Thank you so much.
No problem, and thanks for the nice words.
Okay, thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, take it easy. That was Tony calling from the Bronx, New York, who runs a website called Poetry on the Hudson. You can get to it at POTH.2YA.com. You probably could do a search for poetry on the Hudson.com. How cool. Feel free when you call in, by the way. You know, part of the idea is not just sharing poetry, but learning about the global community of poetry that exists. And, you know, that means you should tell us about your website, or maybe you edit a publication that people could submit to, or maybe you just know of a cool website that you want to talk to us about, or maybe you know, I always like to ask people about the readings in their town and, you know, what do you participate in, because maybe someone else is listening from the same town who doesn't know that that thing exists and could suddenly discover a place that they could go and share their poetry live. So the number to call in is 646-716-7362, and we're moving along to our next caller from the 760 area code. Hi.
Hi, Rick. It's Brandon Samoff from Valley Center.
Hi, Brandon.
How are you today?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Yeah, I'm. Was just up in L.A. yesterday. They had a California Poets in the School meeting at Antioch yesterday, and it was great to see so many poets from the L.A. area that are out in the schools teaching poems to students from, I guess, kindergarten at the youngest and high school. It's a good group of people.
That's cool. Are you a teacher in California Poets in the School?
Yes, I'm working right now with three different schools. I do work at Garfield Elementary, Montgomery Middle, and then there's a program called Poetry Out Loud at Valley Center High School. The elementary and middle school programs are actually writing programs, and then the high school program is for performance of poems. You might have heard of it. The National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation sponsor it. They give a big scholarship to the high school student who wins this. It's kind of like a spelling bee for poetry, and the student who scores the most points performing a poem can win a $20,000 college scholarship.
When you say performing a poem, is it would an equally good analogy be it's kind of like a slam poetry event, or you know, perhaps?
It is. It's like slam. However, whereas slam poets are performing their own work, here the poets are performing the work of writers in English. So, in the first two rounds, one of the two poems must be by a poet from before the 20th century, and another poem must be less than 25 lines long. And then, usually in the third round, it's you know, anybody from any era, and it can be a poem of any length.
Well, that's cool. So it forces the kids to check out other people's work and really become kind of intimately familiar with it if they're going to perform it decently.
Right. They're learning about what other poets have done, and they're also considering how that work relates to performance. There's a lot of poems that are well known and well loved. However, they don't necessarily establish a real strong link with the audience. They don't perhaps address the audience as clearly as, say, some others could. So the emphasis here is not necessarily on what's the best-known poem, but what poem creates a performance environment. So, for example, a lot of people love Robert Frost. However, you'd be surprised at how poems by other poets that are aware of the reader's presence do much better. A lot of times you'll see poems where the poet's adopted a persona and are speaking to a definite character. And those things in a live situation seem to invigorate the audience and do much better.
Well, cool. So California Poets in the Schools, I've always thought was kind of an interesting program, especially, you know, obviously for the people who you're teaching, but as a poet, it's a way that you can actually make a living, you know, or generate some income, you know, as a poet, you know, being immersed in your artwork, which is a hard thing to do. I mean, most people who are poets do it kind of on the side and have regular jobs or some kind. The last caller, for example, works in a hospital, you know, so, I mean, is that part of the benefit to you, or is that a cool thing for you?
Well, that is part of it. You know, it's just a blessing to be able to go into a classroom and be paid to teach your passion. And it's not a lot of money. Different programs have different backing. You know, there's a lot of business to the arts administration and learning where the different grants are useful, what title funds are available. But beyond the fact that these artists are doing these teaching residencies, I think something that happens is is, and this came up yesterday at the meeting, is no matter how long we practice our writing of poems, we go into these classes, and a student is going to create a metaphor or break a line or do something that we've never heard before. And the truth is that although you might be the teaching artist in the classroom, you're entertained by the work of the students. And so, yeah, it's great that these are paid jobs, but the work is it's the work that I think poets love to do themselves, and when you see your students do it, it's marvelous.
Well, that's sustaining yourself as an artist. It's not, you know, you don't do it for the money, but the fact that you make money and it allows you to pay your rent and eat food, you're literally sustaining yourself as an artist, and I think it's a crucial part of what, you know, what being an artist is. You know, I'm sure I've mentioned this on the show before, but a friend of mine, a local poet named Matthew Niblock, or Matthew Mars now actually, you know, said if you ever make money from poetry, whether it's just, you know, a few dollars because you did a reading and got tips, you should immediately go buy food with it, you know, again, because you're sustaining yourself from your art, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it is a good feeling. And the different organizations that help artists, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Poetry Foundation, Poets and Writers, the California Arts Council, and then the individual school districts. And sometimes, a business of a parent will co-sponsor or create the matching funds for this to happen. And the reason I think that all these people do this is because they understand that poetry is not an extra. It's a fundamental. It builds a lot of language art skills that sometimes are overlooked in the language art standards. A lot of times our language art standards, particularly in the state of California, they're about identifying metaphors. And any student that never has the opportunity to create them and do so and be rewarded for that in their education is really missing out. So you've got a lot of arts organizations and parents that get behind this, and they've got good reason to do so.
Well, that's great. So do you have a poem for us?
Yes. You know, if there are people in California that would like to get involved, if they go to cpits64.org on the net, they'll get everything that they need, www.cpits64.org. And it started in 1964 up at the University of San Francisco. It was something called the Pegasus Project, and the poet Ishmael Reed was instrumental, one of the many people that got it going. So it's been going for 45 years now. And,
wow.
There's a lot of opportunities, not just for people to be poets in the schools, but to be friends of poets in the schools. One of the things that people could do if they're teachers is have a poet visit the classroom, or if you're not a teacher, you're not involved in education, but you would like to offer venues or create places for students to get their work out into the world to read or publish, CPITS would love to hear from you.
Cool. CPITS64.org.
Yes. CPIT64.org.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for telling us so much about it, and I'd love to hear your work.
All right. Here's a poem from the McGee Park Poets Anthology, and it's called "For Every Too Little, A Too Much." To make my wife less anxious about my stacks of papers in her office, your letters, Dad, were the first I recycled, unread. She begged me not to read another after what you sent the second time you left me. End every holiday, a little highway. Before that Thanksgiving dinner, I'd been rambunctious about Reagan, remember? I'd rudely punctuated your lecture with the request to see your clip file, your book, or some place where your conservative blather didn't fill your mouth like a stone you couldn't spit. For so much uncut grass, a little less sky. I let you go a second time, and you finally wrote letters like water, telling me not to talk to my half-sister. I admit I read 8 or 9 words, hoping the tone would change, but I could never climb lower than the rung of your first threat. Now your grandsons look at Iraq, on to every holiday, a hat. How about a helmet? Vietnam, I tell them, is the way to know granddad. Ah, the peril of family values. And your patriots talk to make themselves deaf so they don't hear those they devour. I thought about burning your letters in the barbecue, but recycled them because I know how you hate ego-think. So, from every little madness, a little more.
Great. Thank you, Brendan. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Well, thanks for providing the opportunity, and want to just thanks also for organizing the Poetry Exchange. I've participated and have received some wonderful things over the years. I think the last thing I got was a nice letterpress journal from Snow and Graham in Chicago, and then another thing I've enjoyed a lot is a CD from DJ Monkey. I think they titled it Another Evolution. So it's been a lot of fun, and if people are listening and they haven't participated, it's great. I think you've put me in touch with people in Scotland and and people in Israel, and it's truly amazing how far that superhighway stretches.
Well, I'm glad you're one of the vehicles on it, Brendan. Thanks so much for calling in today and giving us all the info and your thoughts and your poem as well.
Well, thanks for your questions, Rick. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
It was Brendan Sema calling from Valley Center, California, a regular here on Poetry Superhighway Live, gave us a lot of information about the California Poets in the Schools program, which is a really cool way for poets to get involved with poetry and other people and make a little bit of money as a poet, sustain yourself a bit. All right, moving right along, the number to call in is 646-716-7362, and we're moving to our next caller from the 805. Hello.
I guess that's me. Rick, it's Mark Ladwig.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. How you doing?
Doing good, thanks. Thanks for calling back.
Yeah, enjoy the show. That was a nice poem. It kind of made me sad. I'm kind of on the outs with my son right now, so I'm kind of on the other end. I'm on the dad's end of that thing, so. But it's interesting. Yeah.
My son is only 4 months old, so we haven't yet decided how the relationship's going to be yet.
Yeah, well, it'll sort itself out, you know. And it's never a dull moment. You never know which way that road is going to twist.
That's true.
It always comes back again, too. That's I have 2 short poems to read this time. I'll kind of jump in here, save you some time. I'm a teacher, and I'm on Christmas vacation, and I'm enjoying it very much, of course. And I went on MySpace, I went on one of the writers' groups, and there's an individual in there that I really don't appreciate very much, but he wrote, he offered a poem by Philip Larkin, I think it's called Al-Bad, and it was the first since, did I pronounce it correctly, or somewhat correctly?
Pretty close, Obad. Obad.
Obad.
Are you familiar with the form?
No, okay, it's a form. No, I didn't. No, I wasn't familiar with it as a form. I thought it had something to do with Dawn.
It kind of does, actually. In a way, I became familiar with it because my friend Brendan Constantine wrote one and started reading it at the different readings. And most of them are actually called Obad. And it's a form, which typically takes on the name of the form. And it's typically a poem written after your first encounter with a lover.
Oh, okay. Well, no, this wasn't like that. No, the theme was death. And I had a very, this is about at 5 in the morning. That's very important. This is a story I'm going to tell you. So I thought, okay, look, I started to read it, and I looked at what he'd written, and I thought, this is the first sincere thing I've seen this guy post here, and he rags on my poetry a lot, so I thought, well, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I was just very suddenly and very urgently compelled to, you know, go away from there, and I thought I was just writing some notes down, but it ended up being a poem. And so I'll read the poem. Well, okay. I'll read you the poem, and then I'll finish the story. Okay. So I went away from this poem, Obad, by Philip Larkin, and you know, I started writing my own poem, and it's this one, and it's called Death as Anesthesia. Okay. And it's Death as Anesthesia. Mind as exhalation of body, spent breath mixes back where it came from. Though conditions change, nothing goes away. Ghosts of ghosts swirling into each other and back out again. Waves wrapping around rocks and meeting on the other side in rippling peaks and troughs. Men are not elemental and are sad complexities of decay, but only from the top down. There is as much immortality at our feet as in the stars, now as then. So lions, when no longer hungry, let lambs pass by. So I had finished writing this thing, and I just tinkered with it a little bit. Really, I thought it was going to be just notes, but I thought, okay, I'm just going to leave it there. And I got a call, and, you know, I right at that moment, and I'd say this was like at, maybe a little bit after 6. In the morning, and this was a Sunday morning, and it was my principal, and he called me up and asked me to make a few phone calls to spread the sad news that two of our students had been killed in a car wreck at 5 in the morning. So, and I had known these boys since they were in kindergarten, and they were friends of my son, and I just thought it was kind of odd that how this poem came about. I had no knowledge of what was going on, but, you know, while these kids were laying by the side of the road dying, I was writing that poem. So it was kind of a shock.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of a shock. You know, it's a real small town I live in, so when something like that happens, it's, you know, it has its effect. But I went to the funeral. And I've got another poem here, and it's quite short, too. I went to the funeral, and funerals in Cambria, California are always outstanding, okay? Odd as that might sound to say. The guy that ran the services was a guy named Mike Kenny, and about 10 years earlier, he had lost Kim, his daughter, in an automobile accident. Kim was a student of mine, and he was a very impressive person. So anyway, I wrote this about the funeral, and it's called Two Butterflies. Okay, you might think I'm just making it up when I say two monarch butterflies flitted overhead during the funeral. Grieving hundreds gathered in the grassy sea pine meadow and listened to a man who knew all about such loss, say that out of sudden evil comes unexpected good. As denizen of this world, I can accept such a notion without having to resort to any faith. Mythologically, upon being cast into hell, self-coronated Lucifer vowed to pervert God's good. And so if all chemical reactions are theoretically reversible, why shouldn't evil make good on the sly? Did I not take your dear, strong hand at the graveside of our lost friend, where once I worried all love was lost between us? Will I not die easier knowing our last parting sounded a love deeper than any anger which kept us apart? With tears in my eyes and joy in my heart, I sat among the mourners and more than ever realized why those butterflies flitting above were perfect animals of hope.
Very nice, Mark. Thank you again for calling in and sharing the stories.
Yeah, my pleasure, Rick. My pleasure. Got a great show.
Thank you. Remind us one more time where you're calling from.
Oh, well, I'm living in Arroyo Grande, California, but I've been living in Cambria for many, many years. And that's right about equal distance between Los Angeles and San Francisco, right on the coast. Highway 1, near Hearst Castle, awesome country.
I'm on my way.
Hope to
all
see
right.
you.
Thanks again, Mark.
Take care.
Dr. Colin. And that was Mark Ladwig calling from the center of California, Arroyo Grande, California, sharing a couple of poems and stories about the poems. The number to call in is 646-716-7362. This is Poetry Superhighway Live. Going on to our next caller, a blocked caller phone number. Hello, blocked caller.
Rick?
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
This is Michael in Birmingham, Alabama.
Hey, Michael. How you doing? Good to hear your voice again.
Appreciate it. I've enjoyed the show. I like the guy talking about the poets in the schools. I know you're pressed for time. I do have two I want to read for February 1st, Valentine's month. And in conjunction to doing that, I'll tell about a poetry event that's coming up in Birmingham. You want to hear about that, don't you?
Yeah, let's start with the one poem to start with, because I do have a lot of callers, and I want to make sure to get to everyone. So.
Okay, well, I'll do the first poem, and then the second one will be about a reading coming up in Birmingham at the museum. This is called Titanic. The split-screen image of Kate Winslet and that girl, too good for you, I had a hard crush on, me standing out in straight leg cords, while the others stood for fashion on platforms, all the pretty bell bottoms in a row. I could be no Leonardo DiCaprio taking the cover between the sheets of GQ. I am happy to say she married well, that I accepted her personal invitation at the wedding, best guest, least groomed up, leaving her with a look of me as chaplain-esque, tossing off the cake. So I remain a faithful, vowed Jack, who can still fall heavy for a rose from any garden every day. And they said it would be impossible.
Mm.
Titanic.
Clapping.
Thank you. This next selection, this Friday, February 6th at the Birmingham Museum of Art. You've probably heard of Patricia Smith, haven't you, the slam performance poet?
I've read with her, as a matter of fact. We read together at a convention in, of all places, a fashion convention in Las Vegas. Another poet named Jerry Quickly, who's an amazing writer and performer. Put together, I guess he was hired by a clothing company to organize poets to read at this particular company's booth at the fashion convention. And Patricia Smith was one of those poets, and I was, and we dined together at the Sahara Buffet.
Well, as of this Friday, you and I will have something else in common. I'm not so much reading with her. She'll be featured from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock here at the Birmingham Museum of Art. And the hour before that, they've slated some local poets, and I was invited right before Christmas. And I thought, oh, what a great Christmas gift to look forward to something in 2009. So I'm going to be reading a couple of selections by other poets, and I'm going to read this one by myself that I wrote. I actually wrote it about a year ago, and Masterpiece Theater, they aired a new adaptation of Emily Bronte's Wuthering Heights. Anyway, and it caused me to go back and revise it. And being Valentine, being a great love story. Anyway, this is the one I'll be airing Friday night, Bronte on the Rocks. Strong wheel, winds, rain, moor, crags. Definitive high rock opera before the art went high tech. To be a rock that rolls but does not stone. Mr. Heathcliff vows, the Moors and I will never change, don't you? Miss Kathy exchanges fashion for that unbridled part of the wind that we all long to be taken by. Then the two, rolling as one, rocked regal, unweary rags, never out of print. Rick, I know you're busy. Thanks for sharing that information about that you read with Patricia Smith. And I'll maybe talk to you next month.
Sounds great. Thanks so much for calling in, Michael, and I hope the reading goes real well.
Thank you. Enjoying the show as always.
Enjoyed having you on it. That was Michael calling from Birmingham, Alabama. He's reading this Friday at the Birmingham Museum of Art. Patricia Smith will be there. She's one of the more, I don't know, famous is the right word for poets in this world, but known slam or performance poets, I should say, out there, certainly worth checking out. Moving along, we have Don S. Tauno calling. Hi, Don. Don, are you there?
I am.
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you. You're probably using the click to talk function, maybe.
Yes, I am.
It's definitely breaking up. So I'd hesitate to let you get into a poem right now because the last time I experienced this, we couldn't hear anything. I'm wondering if you can call in on a telephone. Oh, he's gone. Well, there you go. Moving along, he just disconnected. We'll get to our next caller right now. The number to call in, by the way, is 646-716-7362. Please call in. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear your work. And hi there from the 614 area code.
Hello, Rick. This is Nicole Nicholson from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Nicole. How you doing? Welcome back.
Well, thank you. I know I've been away for a couple months. I've been kind of busy. I've been kind of on a personal sabbatical of sorts. I'd like to kind of talk briefly about what's going on in our Columbus poetry scene, and then I'd like to present one of my newer works that I've written recently.
Sounds great.
Okay. We actually have three open mics, three regular open mic nights in the Columbus, Ohio area, in central Ohio. Writer's Block is, I started reading with them first. They have their open mics every Wednesday at Cafe Kerouac on North High in Columbus. They're just a little bit north of the Ohio State campus. There's more info at writersblockpoetry.com. Right now, they're having their slam-offs to get together their team to go to the National Poetry Slam later this year. Writing Wrongs, which is another group I read with, they have their open mics every Tuesday. They're also getting their National Poetry Slam team together, and they're having slam-offs, and they're going to select four people that are going to go to the Poetry Slam in July. I think it's July anyway. They've got more info on their night at myspace.com/ Writing Wrongs Poetry. We have a third night going on. It's the Poetry Forum. It used to be at Larry's Bar near campus, near the Ohio State campus. They've moved to the Rumba Cafe, which is a little bit further from campus. And I don't have a URL for them, but if anyone's calling from Central Ohio and wants to know more about Larry's, I can find the information and put people in contact with the person that runs the night. I just wanted to kind of give a rundown of what's going on poetry-wise in Columbus. And I'd like to present a poem now. It's called Off.
Great.
They used to say that she was off, insane for claiming that dead poets resided inside her brain, telling her things like, the gods made love and gave birth to the cosmos. Blazes of passion became balls of fire and gas. Seeds became stars, and the stardust became us. And as their scribe, she transcribed their vibes into vibrations of sound, and she'd spin their words around the neighborhood. But they used to say that she was off. She said that she heard spirits hissing in the winds, ghosts chanting and dancing, invocations and prayers, offering new smoke to old gods, westward winds blowing Indian prayers to the horizons, burial mounds beneath playgrounds, giving up ancestral secrets, red men and women who sang upon this earth before black, white, and brown feet trod upon its gentle surface. She'd hear these ghosts, hear these prayers and re-sing them. An old black woman chanting Indian prayers, opening her vocal cords as hollow conduits passing sound all around the neighborhood. But they used to say that she was off. She said that she'd see shadows, darting figures looking her in the eye. They'd cry, looking for something that they never found on the playground, in alleys, in juke joints, in living rooms, in the eyes of lovers, in children, looking for absolution, for solutions, for an end to pain, for an end to endless rain while wandering in the spirit plane. Unresolved souls, truncated, looking for release. They tell her their names, plead their cases. She said that she could see their faces, gleaming, sighing, crying, and that she could hear their petitions and ghostly sounds. But they used to say that she was off. She would have been home in the deserts to roam, the valleys, the sands, or ancient lands, across the gulf, across an ocean, at home within threadbare straw huts, decorated with the wisdom of the ancients, carrying in their bellies relics, masks, the faces of gods, monkeys, and spirits, Africa's blood in her veins, a veil over her newborn eyes. She would have been the woman who sees, the woman who knows, but her gifts may have been right, but the land and century of her birth were wrong. So instead of saying that she was wise, that she had visions, they just said that she was off. Off of what? Off of center? Off of our comfort zone? Off of our understanding? Off of common vibrations? Off of a solid world and able to stand in the crack between one world and the next and peer through that crack, seeing passages, seeing spirits? Off of what? I'll never know, because I never asked. Never asked her to peer through the glass and into her mind's eye. I never asked her to see for me. I never asked, what did she see, and how did she see it so clearly, beyond the fog of reason, beyond the fog of rational minds. I'll never know which side of the moon infected her mind, whether she drew down the light of its wisdom or the darkness of its lunar lunacy. All I know is that they used to say that she was off.
Violet did prefer off people, so I'd like to meet her.
Well, unfortunately, she's kind of a fictional person. She's a conglomerate of several people that I knew in my hometown.
Sounds like a great place to live.
Middletown, well, I don't know, but that's all I'm going to say, but yeah.
Well, Nicole, I really appreciate you calling in and sharing that piece with us. Well-delivered, as always, and thanks for all the information about what's happening in the Columbus, Ohio poetry scene these days as well.
Well, thank you.
And welcome back from your couple-month sabbatical.
All right. Well, I should be back next month.
Sounds good. Thank you for calling in, Nicole. That was Nicole from Columbus, Ohio, calling in about 10 minutes or so left in the show. And we are moving along to our next caller. We have a caller from the 845 area code. Hello.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. This is Teresa Edwards from Poughkeepsie, New York. I called
Hi, Teresa.
In. Hi. I called in last month. But I wasn't very prepared, but today I'm prepared, and I've been listening, and I enjoyed that last poem very much. Anyway, I'd like to read two poems, if I may, from my poetry manuscript that's looking for a publisher. The manuscript is called Voices Through Skin.
Well,
okay.
I keep trying to tell people one poem, and then people keep jumping in with a second, and there isn't that much time left in
okay.
the show. And a couple other callers. So let's definitely do the one, and we'll see how long it is, okay?
Okay. I'm going to do this one. It's called Painting Cheswafa Kivoka, and it's an acrostic poem in response to Laurie Schreiner's paintings of Auschwitz victim Cheswafa Kivoka, photographed by Wilhelm Brassy. It's also in memory of her. And it's the collaborative. There's a collaboration, and it's published on Admit 2 of Laurie's paintings and this poem. Painting Cheswafa Kivoka. In Brassey's black and white photos, you are a young girl with a round face dropped into a flat gray world. 26947 sewn on a striped wardrobe, naked beneath these numbers. What does color bring to you? In color, you move through our minds. In color, you are a movie star. Mia Farrow, slightly protruding upper lip, swollen bottom, forms a dense shadow to your chin. In color, you are a young woman bleeding from within. Pale skin filters red to pink. This is the girl you are at Auschwitz, Czesława. You are not a criminal. Your full-color portrait forces our reaction. Your hair is the warmest fall in a dead winter. Amber background sparks the short, matted bristles. Adolescent questions quickly extinguished when a scarf adds texture, diagonal patterns, another look of a 14-year-old prisoner. In color, you transform. We can touch your swollen mouth, feel the voice beneath the left side of your face, where grays mix with pinks, a rash of illness. The contrast holds us. In a soft color profile above and slightly right of 26947, we see a tear from your right eye spilling down, just underneath skin, transparent, thin from a bleak setting. We follow the contour of your smeared mouth, slightly opened, trace from lower lip to the bottom of your chin. This part of pinkish-gray flesh appears as number 7. This is non-intentional. In color, we feel the blacks of uniformity, harsh marks of suffering blacken the scratched shadows below your nostrils. The black slit above your gray lower lip sucks us empty. Your eyes, black oval platters reflecting SS soldiers and worse within deep gray carvings. Black is blacker in color. Painted close-up, a bright yellow backdrop brightens the scarf's pattern. Your hair, hidden in black and white, becomes strands of sunlight, movement on still life. Yellows warm your cheeks, your forehead clear of dirt. Yellows remove the dark patch from the tip of your nose we see in each of Brassey's photographs. Yellows plunge orange, settle on the center left of your chest. You can breathe them in. And that's it.
Very nice, Teresa. That was a wonderful piece. I don't know if you're aware, but every year around Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day, I publish a special issue of poems from stuff submitted on that topic during the week before that issue. So if you're interested, that might be a good piece to send to that, or if you have other work on that topic. If you're on the Poetry Superhighway email list, I send out the call for submissions for that issue literally the week before I put it up. So it'll be right around the week of Yom HaShoah. So I definitely encourage you to participate in that.
Okay, absolutely will. Thank
you. Cool. Well, I want to get to a couple other callers, so I'm going to unfortunately not say no to the second poem, but I definitely enjoyed that piece a whole lot, and I certainly appreciate that you called in today.
Oh, thank you very much. And one poem is great. I'm glad I could read it. And if anyone would like to see the paintings that go along with this poem, they can go to Admit2 online. I think it's, I'm not sure what the website is, but anyway, I'll let you go. Thank you very much, Rick.
All right. Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Teresa Edwards calling from Poughkeepsie, New York, second-time caller, sharing really a wonderful piece on that topic. Thanks for calling in, Teresa. I want to mention we had trouble getting Don on the air because of the click-to-talk deal. I see he's on the list again, and we'll try to get to you in a couple minutes, Don. Not sure that we'll be able to today, though, but I do see in the chat room that you wanted to promote a contest. It's a poetry contest open only to Redwood Empire counties in California. So if you're in that area and you're listening, and you'd like to participate in this poetry contest, you can go to the website, which is redwoodwriters.org/poetry/2009.html. So check that out, and if you're in that area, and join in. We're going to see if we can get to two more callers in the 6 minutes that we have. I've got a another blocked number, so if that's you, say hi. If you happen to be on the phone right now, just say hi. Alrighty, not only a blocked caller, but a blocked human being as well. So moving right along, let's see if we can get to the caller from the 347 area code. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Who's this? And where are you calling from?
This is Ikere Tally, and I'm calling from New York City.
New York City. What's your name again?
Ikere. It's actually been on the Poetry Superhighway before. I'm so happy to get a chance to talk to you.
Likewise. Likewise. Well, welcome to this live interaction.
Thank you.
So, New York City, that's great. You got a phone for us?
I do. It's something I haven't seen in a while. It has no title, but it's about Miles Davis.
Cool.
Jagged silk sun of machete and burgundy, fists of wind, massaging sound supple, quickly turning unsuspecting necks of notes toward their last painless breaths. Why face the audience might have spat at you were it not for that wailing dark light winding its way through brass. Irreversible spell of music, bone, and rasp, deep sepia wisp, haunted. Somebody loved you, and you loved you, knowing the pulpit was reserved for the show, the back door was for after. And women expected ice to melt, to bathe in a cool water kiss, didn't suspect wounds their aloe couldn't heal, a panther puffing on a nice edge, unfazed by all the blood and smoke, something coiled in the corner of a cornered soul. You were something pushed down, pulled apart, left the people gasping for air, the same way you did, fight secretly for every inhale. What kind of alchemy was it that turned every injury into the voice of brooding gold?
That is great. Love Miles Davis, and that certainly was. He was. I could see him in my eyes while you were reading that. Well done.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I have a funny relationship with Miles Davis. You know, he's been such an intense and troubled person, and so much beauty coming from that horn. So one day it just came out. You know.
That's right. So when were you featured on the Poetry Superhighway? Do you remember when?
Oh my gosh, it was so long ago, I'd be embarrassed to tell you. It was probably at least 6 years ago, and actually the poem was about jazz musicians, so I guess I get musical when I talk to you.
Well, that's of course what most women say.
That's good.
Cool. Well, people can look on the Past Poets Archive and certainly look you up, and because every poet we've ever published since 1997 is still online, so your work is still there.
Yeah, thanks so much. I really enjoy the Poetry Superhighway, and it's the jazz musician, so it's a really short piece, but it was one of those pieces like this. I wrote it, sent it, and somehow you just picked it up, so that was a great thing.
Cool. Well, glad to connect with you. Is there a reading in New York City that you frequent that you want to shout out to?
Oh my gosh, absolutely not. You know, the reading is in my house with my two kids. That's the reading right there, you know. But I'm writing a lot and posting a lot of stuff up on the web and recording a lot of stuff. And I'll get back out reading in a bit, you know. But
you got a website?
I do. It's www, of course, E K Allreet, as in Tom, Allie, .com. It's IgereTali.com.
Very nice. We only got 30 seconds left, so I'm going to let you go so I can close up.
Okay.
But thanks for calling in, and please do so again, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for all your great work.
My pleasure. Thank you. Kara Tolley calling from New York City. You can check out her work on the Past Poets Archive. Just plumb out of time. I'm sorry we didn't get to all the callers today. Please call in next month. Our next reading is going to be on March 1st, 2009. Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a good night. Bye.